Tell your friends.
World Report with Brandon House.
That our sons and daughters should be bleeding next to Ukrainian soldiers, bleeding and dying on their soil. Why? Why are we going to send our sons and daughters there? Well, because of the last omnibus bill that says that women can be called into the draft. Oh, yeah, your government, oh, Nancy Pelosi, just before she went out on vacation, she made sure to put that in the omnibus bill that the females in our country will be called up to draft. And I understand we're all looking for equality, but that's not the America I want to live in. Remember, guys, we are in a mess, and we have no business being in Ukraine, sending our sons and daughters there, much less the money, the ammunition, and all the other stuff. I get there's humanitarian aid needed there, but we have to be mindful of why we got in there to begin with, and I think it was all to cover up for the deep state. Guys, remember the 10% we do for our neighbor, community, city, county, state, the federal government. The more you do for them, the less they have to do for you. So learn how to be selfless and not so damn selfish. The world will be a far, far better place. Remember, hold the line, hold fast, do not give up, do not give in. We will win, I promise. I don't make promise I can't keep. Guys, listen. You are the answers. Come together, bind together, be the right people at the right time. We don't have to play this game anymore. I told you these stories only because it's important for you to understand who the enemy is. And it's not me and you, but it's them. And we have to be mindful to get them out of the way and put right leadership in there and make sure we get back to God and put fathers back in the home in the way we should always have been. But through the destruction of the family home and getting God out of the home, we find ourselves in a godless country. We are the difference makers. Guys, thank you so much for everything out there. I'm Jim Price. This is Jim Price Show Daily Update. You guys all be good to each other out there, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Tonight on the Worldview Report, a Russian fighter jet intercepts an American reconnaissance drone in international waters in the Black Sea, in an action the U.S. calls unprofessional and environmentally unsound, while the Russians said the drone was provocation. Did Joe Biden just unilaterally nationalize the banking industry? A well-known financial analyst says yes. A U.K. member of parliament and a noted cardiologist have jointly called on the U.K. Houses of Parliament to hold the U.S. government accountable for their violation of the Biological Convention's Weapons Treaty, resulting in the COVID pandemic and unprecedented use of experimental genetic vaccines. Facebook is laying off another 10,000 employees, and a growing number of young Americans are choosing not to go to college. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brandon House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brandon House.
Good evening, and welcome to the Worldview Report. A Russian Su-27 fighter plane collided with a U.S. MQ-9 Reaper drone over the Black Sea on Tuesday, the U.S. defense official told Fox News. The jet in question was one of the two Su-27s flying in tandem when the collision occurred in international airspace over international waters. The drone's propeller was damaged, forcing the unmanned aerial vehicle to ditch in the Black Sea west of Crimea. That's what the U.S. defense official told Fox News. The U.S. State Department is summoning Russian ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, to express its, quote, strong objections, end quote, to the intercept. That's what spokesman Ned Price confirmed to reporters. The Su-27 was headed toward Crimea, landed there after the incident, the official added. The U.S. European Command and U.S. Air Forces in Europe, Air Force Africa, issued a statement on the incident in which they reported the events leading up to the collision and admonished the Russian military for a, quote, pattern of dangerous actions, end quote, in international airspace. The statement reads, quote, At approximately 7:03 a.m., one of the Russian Su-27 aircraft struck the propeller of the MQ-9, causing U.S. forces to have to bring the MQ-9 down in international waters. Several times before the collision, the Su-27s dumped fuel on and flew in front of the MQ-9 in a reckless, environmentally unsound, and unprofessional manner. This incident demonstrates a lack of competence in addition to being unsafe and unprofessional, end quote. The Russians, of course, gave a very different account of the incident. State-owned news agency TASS said the reconnaissance mission of the MQ-9 unmanned drone above the Black Sea was a, quote, provocation, end quote. Russian ambassador to the United States, Anatoly Antonov, after consultations at the U.S. Department of State, where the diplomat was summoned, by the way, over the incident, well, he told reporters, quote, the aircraft was flying with its transponders off, and it entered the zone of the special military operation. The information about the zone, was made public via international channels. We, Russia, have warned everyone about it. I think this was a real provocation. They provoked us to take a certain action, which would allow them to accuse Russia and the Russian military of being non-professional, end quote. A CNN panel was stunned as financial analyst Kevin O'Leary appeared on Monday, March 13th, to inform them that the decision by Joe Biden to guarantee every deposit in the U.S. regional banks is akin to, quote, Joe Biden just nationalized the U.S. banking system, end quote. O'Leary, well, he's correct. And anyone who's holding assets like stocks or bonds in U.S. banks now needs to reconsider, I think, the disappeared line between government and the bank asset. If the government can assume control and backstop every single account balance within the bank, and banks plural, then the government can assume and control all activity of the bank. Take a look.
For more on this amazing events that have transpired over the last several days, I want to bring in Shark Tank Judge Kevin O'Leary, who is the chairman of O'Leary Ventures and is here to join us. What are you hoping to hear from President Biden?
Well, I think I know what he's going to say. I don't think he'll say it in the way I'm suggesting, but what effectively happened over the weekend is that he nationalized the American banking system. It's no longer a risk. It's no longer private in any sense. It is now backstopped by the government, ultimately the taxpayer. So it doesn't matter how bad you are as a bank manager, and a good example is what happened at Silicon Valley Bank. That was a combination of a negligent board of directors and idiot management. That's a very powerful cocktail when put together, and it completely wiped out that bank. And that's what should have happened. And we knew before the weekend started that every account with $250,000 or less was insured, and anything beyond that, which is generally business accounts or sophisticated investors, was not. But that's all changed. Now you have no risk in any bank anytime, and you as the taxpayer bear that going forward.
When we spoke on Friday, you said, I said, how big a deal is this, Kevin? And we were texting, and you said, next week the real trouble starts when they can't make payroll. Now it looks like they will be making payroll, I would imagine. So what do you think? Do you think that maybe the pressure is off now, that things are going to go back to normal, or is there still more fallout here?
No, they'll never go back to normal. Two things are going to happen. This quick move, this policy decision, was to try and stop a run on small banks, mid-sized banks. I don't think long-term that's going to work, because why would you take even 1% of risk keeping your money, or at least all of it, in a small regional bank? You're going to diversify. And I think that's the first lesson that wasn't being adhered to, is when you have liquid assets, you want to make sure it's diversified. And the rule we've put in place for our portfolio companies is no more than 20% in any one financial institution, because you never know where the black swan is swimming. In other words, every single institution has an idiot manager. Big ones, small ones, that's been proven by history. You just don't know where they are. And that's the same for every sector of the economy. But the banking system's different. We have 11 sectors in our economy. The banking system, financial services, is one of them. But it services all other 10. So what's really happening when the president steps out in a few moments is he's basically saying, look, I can't take this risk anymore. I'm just going to nationalize the whole thing. And that's the way we should look at banking going forward. Nothing more than highly regulated utilities. And that has profound impacts for you as an investor. If you thought putting your money into bank stocks was a good idea, you should change your mind this morning forever. And should you own bank bonds? Never. You were taught that lesson over the weekend. If you owned equity in Silicon Valley Bank, it's worthless. If you own the bonds, worthless.
Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt, Kevin. I do want to push back on that because you've got to differentiate between the small and medium-sized banks that were given more lax requirements in that 2018 legislation and the big guys. Because the big guys closed up on Friday, and there's a flight to safety to J.P. Morgan, to Citigroup, et cetera.
That doesn't mean they're, you know, you should not assume that just because they're big, they can't fail. Managers make mistakes all the time.
No, but they are held to higher, but they are held to stress test requirements, higher capital and liquidity requirements because of Dodd-Frank. That didn't get diminished for those big ones.
And you should assume that stage is going to be lifted even higher on them, so they're going to be even more regulated as they become more concentrated and far less profitable. That's my point. This really does make you think about owning bank stocks long term. I think they'll be underperforming the index for decades to come. That's my personal opinion. But it's the behavior of you as an investor in the actual accounts. If you're a business, you can't put it all in one financial institution. Certainly everybody learned that lesson over the weekend. So diversification is going to matter. But this has fundamentally changed the way you should look at banking, because I'm not really comfortable that all of a sudden we've de-risked everybody all of the time. It was a good idea to de-risk $250,000 and make more sophisticated investors think about their behavior and how they should put their capital to work, get diversity. You don't have to do that anymore, according to what the president's going to say. You have zero risk, and that has consequences. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And this is going to be very expensive for shareholders of banks long term. All right. I would never put my money into a bank stock ever again.
Oh, wow. Kevin O'Leary. Kevin, always appreciate your perspective.
This draconian action dovetails nicely with the overall goal, which I think is to create a digital form of so-called money that is 100% controllable in terms of the government being able to track every single transaction that happens in the economy. Even though Joe Biden wants Americans to believe the banking system is safe, smaller banks are getting crushed, as predicted by most economists and analysts. The Wine Press News reported in the wake of the recent banking collapse, quote, "This is a clear consolidation of power of consumers transferring assets out of their small banks and into the so-called too big to fail institutions, while the mega banks begin to snap up the good assets from these failing banks, thereby increasing their stranglehold and monopolization of the banking industry," end quote. From that article, pointing to the stock market experts and analysis, Gregory Monerno, quote, "The collapse of SVB, and there will be others, creates a fire sale opportunity for the major banks. Not a single major bank stepped in to save SVB, because now this collapse prevents them with a major opportunity to now be able to acquire assets from this collapse for next to nothing, pennies on the dollar. Moreover, the big banks by design will now become even larger as more regional bank collapses occur, allowing for more fire sales. I fully expect that the overnight collapse of SVB will be followed by more smaller regional bank failures. That means more fire sales of assets and opportunities for the major banks. In my opinion, we are about to see a consolidation of the entire banking system accelerate, with more power, more assets concentrated in the Wall Street super banks. Any so-called contagion regarding regional smaller bank failures will, of course, allow for the too-big-to-fail institutions to get much bigger," end quote. And already, that's starting to happen. According to analysis by Zero Hedge, Americans are begging to transfer their money out of smaller regional banks and into much larger banks that they believe will be considered too big to fail by the government. Of course, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So the question will be, will these so-called too big to fail banks eventually themselves fail and cause massive problems for Americans that are all consolidated in the so-called too big to fail banks? In other words, are we creating another crisis that would be even bigger if we just let the free market system take control? On Saturday night, a United Airlines flight from Guatemala to Chicago was rerouted to Houston International Airport due to medical and technical emergencies. Emergency was called, quote, for an incapacitated pilot, end quote, according to an International Houston UAL memo obtained by CDM Press. According to the memo, quote, UA Flight 2007 GUAORD is diverting to IAH, declaring an emergency for an incapacitated pilot gated at E20. Current ETA shows 1747. Unknown if flight will clear here at this time or just re-go. We advise when information is available. Pilot reportedly taken. Into much larger banks that they believe will be considered too big to fail by the government. Of course, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So the question will be, will these so-called too big to fail banks eventually themselves fail and cause massive? In other words, are we creating another crisis that would be even bigger if we just let the free market system take control? On Saturday night, a United Airlines flight from Guatemala to Chicago was rerouted to Houston International Airport due to medical and technical emergencies. Emergency was called, quote, for an incapacitated pilot, end quote, according to an International Houston UAL memo obtained by CDM Press. According to the memo, quote, UA Flight 2007 GUAORD is diverting to IAH, declaring an emergency for an incapacitated pilot gated at E20. Current ETA shows 1747. Unknown if flight will clear here at this time or just recrew and go. We advise when information is available. Pilot reportedly taken to a hospital, end quote. So states the UAL Operations Center communication. The co-pilot landed the plane. Augusto Bernal, director of communications for Houston International Airport, issued a statement to Click to Houston saying, quote, United Airlines Flight 2007 was diverted to IAH. It was diverted for a technical and a medical.
You can't handle the truth.
End quote. Spokesperson for United Airlines provided the following response. Quote, United Flight 2007 from Guatemala City to Chicago landed safely in Houston at 5:39 p.m. to address a medical situation and is expected to re-depart shortly for Chicago, end quote. One of the St. Louis Battle Hawks training staff members died suddenly the team hotel last Thursday. The professional American football team based in St. Louis, Missouri, announced that Ben Siegfried, who worked with XFL Athletic Training Department, passed away. Quote, the XFL family mourns the loss of our teammate Ben Siegfried, who passed away last evening, end quote. That's what the team wrote on Twitter on Friday. According to Fox 2 Now, Ben was in his early 20s when he passed away. The Post provided no details on the death, adding, quote, Ben, a graduate student, athletic trainer from Lebanon Valley College, working with the XL Athletic Training Department, was an integral part of preparing our Battlehawks and Defenders for the season. His infectious smile in the locker room and passion for his work will be deeply missed by all the players and staff who had the opportunity to work with him. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends, end quote. Zero Hedge reports that Facebook's parent company, Meta, announced it will lay off another 10,000 employees. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg wrote in a blog post on Tuesday that the company will, quote, reduce our team size by around 10,000 people. Close around 5,000 additional open roles that we haven't yet hired, end quote. Zuckerberg added, quote, here's the timeline you should expect. Over the next couple of months, org leaders will announce restructuring plans focused on flattening our orgs, canceling lower priority projects, and reducing our hiring rates. We will make our organization flatter by removing multiple layers of management, end quote. Meta employees had been bracing for more layoffs in recent weeks. In fact, last Tuesday, a Bloomberg report outlined the upcoming job cuts. New round of layoff? Well, it adds to a previous round of cuts announced in November of about 13% of Meta's overall staff. We'll be right back after this break.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan! He's back! The MyPillow guy!
And you're looking good!
Still feeling good!
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0! When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
Welcome back. Joe Biden suggested a new federal law is needed, forcing all 50 states to subject confused children to puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. Biden claimed Monday it is, quote, close to sinful, end quote, for Florida Republicans under conservative Governor Ron DeSantis to work to prohibit the surgical and chemical, quote, transitioning, end quote, of minors suffering gender dysphoria, and indicated support for a national law forcing every state to allow the practices. Biden made the remarks during an interview with actor Paul Penn, who was guest hosting The Daily Show. Biden stated, quote, "What's going on in Florida is, as my mother would say, close to sinful. I mean, it's just terrible what they're doing. It's not like a kid wakes up one morning and says, you know, I decided that I want to become a man or I want to become a woman. I mean, what are they thinking about here? They're a human being. They love. They have feelings. They have inclinations. It's cruel," end quote. Folks, these, I believe, are the words of a madman. Watch this.
Transgender kids is a really harder thing. What's going on in Florida is, as my mother would say, close to sinful. I mean, it's just terrible what they're doing. It's not like, you know, a kid wakes up one morning and says, you know, I decided I want to become a man or I want to become a woman or I want to change. I mean, what are they thinking about here? They're human beings. They love, they have feelings, they have inclinations that are, I mean, it just to me is, I don't know, it's cruel. And the way we do it is we make sure we pass legislation like we passed on same-sex marriage. You mess with that, you're breaking the law, and you're going to be held accountable.
DeSantis, well, he hit back at Biden, saying in a tweet that it is, quote, not sinful, end quote, to, quote, prohibit the mutilation of minors. It's not acceptable for the federal government to mandate that procedures like sex change operations be allowed for kids, end quote. Republican Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost filed a lawsuit Tuesday against Norfolk Southern over its train derailment on February 3rd caused a toxic chemical spill. The Ohio AG filed a 106-page lawsuit to hold Norfolk Southern liable for all financial damage associated with the train derailment. This would mainly entail hazardous chemical pollution of the air and water. The lawsuit lists 58 federal and state environmental law violations by Norfolk Southern, including state hazardous waste, water pollution control, solid waste, and air pollution control laws. The lawsuit argues, quote, Norfolk Southern could have taken, but did not, appropriate steps to prevent the derailment and resulting harm to the state. And at a minimum, Norfolk Southern should have been prepared to adequately respond to the derailment and mitigate damage immediately after the derailment, end quote. The Attorney General further accuses Norfolk Southern of common law violations, including public nuisance for the chemicals released into the environment, negligence for the operational defects, and trespassing for contaminating natural resources. Gost added in a press release, quote, Ohio shouldn't have to bear the tremendous financial burden of the Norfolk Southern's glaring negligence. Fallout from this highly preventable incident may continue for years to come, and there's still so much we don't know about the long-term effects on our air, water, and soil, end quote. The state is seeking civil penalties, compensation, and punitive damages, as well as, quote, for declaratory and injunctive relief to remedy defendants' violations of law, end quote. The lawsuit further states that, quote, the derailment has caused substantial damage to the regional economy of the state of Ohio, its citizens, and its businesses. Citizens of the region have been displaced, their lives interrupted, and their businesses shuttered, end quote. As a formality, the complaint names a jurisdictional minimum for federal damages of $75,000, although the damages will far exceed that minimum as the situation in East Palestine continues to unfold. Chairman of the House Oversight and Reform Committee, Representative James Comer, Republican from Kentucky, has revealed his committee possesses documents showing that the Biden crime family has been receiving money from Chinese Communist Party. Comer told Fox News, quote, we are finally having people cooperate with us. I think we all know the Biden administration is stonewalling. Janet Yellen is stonewalling, not turning over the bank violations. But fortunately, since we've last spoken, We actually have bank records in hand, end quote.